been going back to the book of Acts and looking at what was the early church, what kind of a church was it, what did it do. One of the main reasons I believe we need to do that is I believe that's what our church needs to get back to. I believe it's the example, it's the principles that are taught there, and we need to get back to what that church was. We discussed a lot of things. I'm not going to name all of them, but we talked about, you know, the early church, the beginning church, they were saved. Now that may sound silly, but that they were saved. They was born again. That's how they come into the church and belong to the church. They were saved. They were baptized. They always followed the Lord in baptism. And that was something throughout the book of Acts. When you see them getting saved, see them getting following baptism. You see them partaking of the Lord's Supper, took of the Lord's Supper because that's what they were supposed to do. They was a praying church. They was a persecuted church. They was just so many things that we studied, and I'm not going to name them all because we've done a whole list of things that the early church was. But today I just kind of want to touch just for a short time on the subject of church membership. And we won't spend much time on that, and we'll move on to one other item that I want to touch. But you know, it is important that we belong to a good independent fundamental Baptist congregation. That's important. It's important. It's important to your children. It's important to your family. It's important to your community. It's important to your church. And we just want to take a few moments and try to help us to understand this is a scriptural thing. This is not just something they may not have in the early days. They may not have done it just like we do it. I don't know how they did it, but they was brought into the number. They was brought into the congregation. They became a part of the local church. And that's so important. The local church has such a wonderful place in the community and is so important to any community. And so that's why I believe we want to be the kind of church that God wants us to be. I think we need to be that kind of a church, presenting what the church really stands for, what it is. And I think that's important to a community. So it's important also that we belong. I'm just going to read you two verses, and then we'll come over to 1 Corinthians. But in Acts 2:41-42, it says, "Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." If you notice there, it was added unto them. You must understand this is a local assembly. They was added unto them. In the book of Acts, 11th chapter, said, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." You remember in one of our studies we looked at the word church and the word churches, and 75 times, at least 75 times, we found the word church in the New Testament. We found the word churches another at least 25 times, and so a total of 100 times God talks about the church and the churches. That's very important. And of course we know that Jesus gave himself for the church. So the church is very important to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important that we become a part of the local church. We need to find a church that is teaching the Bible, the Word of God. Become a part of that. Get in and just be a part of it. And help the work of God in the community where we live. Now look in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I'll show you just some things that shows us that there was those that was without and those that were within. If you'll notice in the 5th chapter, and I'm not going to read a whole lengthy portion of it, you're probably familiar with this. This is the where there was some sin in the church and it was being dealt with. Paul dealt with it. I'm going to start reading though in the last verse, number 11. "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an adulterer or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such as one know not eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." The reason I read that is to show you that there was some that was within, some that was without. In other words, you could put away, discipline that one that was not doing correctly, not doing right. In fact, he was living in open sin. And so he said to put them out away from you. That means there was a group of people that gathered together as a congregation, and they was known as a church, a called out assembly. And truthfully, they was supposed to protect that assembly and that group of people. Now, I don't imagine I've got anybody in here, I don't imagine has any trouble with the fact that it's good to belong to a local church. I don't think I probably have anybody in here that would say, no, I don't ever want to belong to a church. I don't believe that. But I'm just trying to solidify some things for us, the importance of being a part of the local church and all of its programs and all the things it can do for the community that God has given us to go out and reach them for Christ. So here again, there was those that was within, there was those that was without. He was saying, you protect that local congregation, you take care of it, you watch over it. And if there's those who's going to live openly with in sin, well, need to be dealt with. And so he says, put them away from you. So again, I'm really using that just as a simple fact. There is those that are within. In other words, they're a part of the local assembly. Okay? Now over in 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter of 1 Timothy. Again, when I read these verses, there's so many things could be taught here, but we're just basically honing in on the subject of the fact that there was those who was a part of the number, those who were not a part of the number. So that you'll understand, church membership is very, very important. That we belong to a good local church is very, very important. Look in verse number 5. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, elder women as mothers, and younger as sisters with all purity. It says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now, he's teaching us some things here that we could just spend all day on some of these things. We won't, but I want you to notice as he goes down, he's dealing with the subject of widows indeed. And if any widow have children or nephew, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable for God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. Just want to stop there just a moment. He's dealing with the subject of widows. And if you notice there, and in a sermon here the other day, I was talking about widows and I was teasing. I said, I'm trying to set this up for my wife to be taken care of after I'm gone. But according to the scriptures, they have to be desolate. In other words, certainly if my wife or any other widow was desolate, we've got to step into the picture and be sure that we can take care of them. You know, that's why you want to leave something for your wife. You want to leave her not desolate. You want to take care of her when you're gone. That's just the way, all of us feel, right? I mean, you feel that way. I feel that way. But should occasion arise where there is a widow who is desolate, in other words, she cannot care for herself. She cannot take care of herself. And if you notice here that he talks about the family should step in first of all and take care of her. That's what the family should do. If she has widows have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. It is a right thing for even if a person, a widow, was desolate, for the family to care for her. That's the way God says it. And then, though, but the situation goes on down to where there isn't anyone to care for her. The church ought to make sure she's cared for. Now, you'll notice in verse number 5, he says, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. And she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. If you notice there, he says, let not a widow be taken into the number. This is what I'm wanting to stress when it talks about into the church. It's not a matter of church membership here, but it's the church taking care of her. Why? Because she doesn't have anybody to care for her. And if she's lived the right kind of life, and the Bible speaks, and I'm not going to spend all time doing that, you can read it, but it talks about a widow indeed. Who is a widow indeed? Well, she is one who's lived for God. She's one that raised up children. She's the one that did right. That's who's a widow indeed. And God says the church is responsible for taking care of her, if she has not a family to take care of her, okay? But notice he said into the number. What is that number? Well, that's into the church congregation, not just as a member, but into the congregation will take care of her, take the responsibility to take care of her. I believe church congregations, local churches, has great responsibilities in a lot of areas. And I believe this is one of those areas. Most of the time today, you do not find widows that are desolate. Most of the time, I didn't say you did not, but most of the time, there's been programs set up for them. They have maybe their husbands has died and left them enough to take care of. Maybe they get enough in their retirement or whatever it might be to take care of themselves. But you always want to watch out for widows. You always want to do that. All through the scripture, you'll look into the scriptures, you'll find out over and over again, God blesses us watching out for widows and fatherless. The fatherless and the widows. And a church wants to be very careful about that. We try hard. I mean, we work on that around here. And we work on those fatherless. We do a lot of work with our bus kids, and some of those are fatherless. And we do a lot of work with them and try to help them, be a blessing to them, you see. But it's a responsibility, I believe, of the church to do that. But you notice it just simply says that she would be taken into the number. It says, well reported of for good work, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. He's not saying here that the younger widows cannot belong to the church. He's saying they not to be taken into the number where the church takes care of them. Because he said what they're going to do is they're going to probably more likely get married. And he even tells on down that that's what probably they should do. And he says in verse 14, and will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion of the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. He's just doing the separating there. He's saying if they have a family, it's up to them to take care of them. I don't know how you feel, but I have a feeling probably everybody in this room feels that way. You feel that way about your family. You want to take care of your family. And we've practiced that in our life. We took Donna's mother into our home. She stayed in our home for 7 years until she died. I believe that was right. I believe that was proper. That dear woman gave my wife birth. Went to the jaws of death to give her birth. I feel like I owed her that and should have done that. We brought her in, took care of her for 7 years until she passed away. And I think that's right. And I think you feel the same way, because family should take care of family. But if they're desolate, if widows are desolate, the church should take care of them. In other words, bring them into the number. Bring them in and take care of them and watch over them, see. All right, so once again, let's go over to the book of Acts 2. Yes, Acts chapter 2. And we'll look at another situation here. Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. Let's read verse 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. We could go to a lot of scripture, but if you'll notice, they was gathered into a group there in Jerusalem. It was the church at Jerusalem. They gathered together. They cared for each other. They broke bread together. And they followed the apostles' doctrine together. They was taught the word of God. That's what a local assembly does. Nowadays, we have a lot of local assemblies in a certain area. We have those. It wasn't like that back then. But at the same time, I believe the local assembly has certain responsibilities to their community. And he was talking about there, they that received the word were baptized, the same day they were added unto them. about 3,000 souls. In other words, they became a part of the church there at Jerusalem. So again, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. I think that you already probably understand and know that church membership is important. To find that church where you can serve, where you can love the Lord, and where you can believe it's a church that teaches the Bible, the Word of God, and that's where you're going to get in and you're going to get behind it and you're going to be a part of that local assembly, I believe is very, very important. And I believe the Bible backs that up. Now I want to talk about faithfulness for just a little while. The early church, the church in the book of Acts, was a faithful group of people. They was faithful to their church, to their congregation, to meeting together. They were a faithful people. I'm going to just simply say something to you, all right? I believe something. You know, we look at this thing today, and we look around, and some people profess to be Christians and hardly ever go to church. Very seldom do they ever go to church. All kinds of things get in the way of that. Sports, recreation, I guess we can name a lot of things that would get in the way of that, but they've put those things kind of first, and very seldom do they go to church. You say, Brother Ross, do you believe that not going to church is a sin? I do. I'm just going to go on record. I believe it's a sin. Now, I didn't say that everybody has to be in every service every year. I know there's reasons why we don't sometimes, but listen to me. I believe that just forgetting church and not going to church becomes a sin, because it's instructed to us in the Bible. It's not because Brother Ross believes that and he's set this standard. It's because it is instructed in the Bible for us to not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It is right to go to church. Now, if we would look at it as God looks at it, I have a feeling probably next week it'd be maybe the seats would be filled back here. If people would get a little hold of that and say, you know what, it's wrong for me not to go to church. It's just wrong for me not to, because the Scriptures teaches that we're supposed to. And so I think if we get a hold of it that way and understand that we have such a responsibility to support our local church, just get behind it, support it with your presence there, I think is so important. So do I believe it's a sin not to attend church? Yes, I do. I believe it definitely. I believe it's against Scripture. I believe it goes absolutely against what the Word of God says. And so I don't know how there's ever going to be the blessings of God on a person's life if they are a Christian. I don't know how they could have the blessings of God upon their life if they did not attend regularly and support the local church. I've seen too much in my life to believe anything different, because you see it over and over and over in people's lives. But what happens is when we go to church, we're showing a loyalty to Jesus Christ. I believe, and I'm going to say this, I think I can say this, I believe that the most of the people here would say to me, you know, Brother Ross, I'm at church this morning because I love Jesus. That's why I'm coming. I mean, I know you want to come support your church and all of those things. You want to support your pastor. But I believe you're in church this morning because you love the Lord. You want to be somewhere where the Word of God is taught, where it's being preached, and you want to gather together with other Christians. You want to be a part of that. You're encouraged and helped in the faith by this. And simply, it's an instruction from the Lord that we do that. And that's why we do it, because we love the Lord. I want to show you over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, please. I might mention to you, too, since as you're turning there in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, a lot of times when I'm dealing with somebody, and you do run onto a lot of folk who say to you, you know, I'm a Christian. Well, do you go to church in somewhere? No, I haven't been to church in years. What I usually try to help them with is, it was the custom of the Lord Jesus Christ to go to church. The Bible says it over in the book of Luke, the 4th chapter, and I think it's the 16th verse, if I remember. But he said he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. I'm just saying today, and I know it's putting just looking at something that's not true, not here, but if you think today, if Jesus Christ was on earth today, do you think he would be in church? Well, sure he would. And he always did go to on the Sabbath day, which was his custom. And that's another whole teaching, but on the Sabbath day, we don't do the Sabbath day now. We do the first day of the week. The reason for that is, in the old Jewish law, they worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Now, after Jesus come, all was provided for us. All was done for us. Salvation was provided. So we rest on the first day, and then we work. They worked so that they could rest. We rest so that we could work. See, Jesus, that's why we meet on the first day of the week. Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And so, again, it was his custom to go to the Sabbath. The Bible says so, Luke 4th chapter. It says there, it was his custom to go into the synagogue, and he went into the synagogue, and he stood up and read. It was his custom, you see. And if it was his custom to do it, I think it ought to be ours, don't you? Amen. I understand we're not under the law. I know that. I understand that. But at the same time, it ought to be our custom to go to the house of God. That just ought to be. And you know, I know and I see that you're here this morning and you've been doing this for years. Amen. You've been doing it for years because you love the Lord and you know it's right to do. But there's a lot of folk out there that never attend church and they're doing wrong. They're hurting themselves. You see, they're just hurting themselves and those around them when they don't do that. But in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to just read a few verses and then we'll skip over. But he says in chapter 12, verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" Now, I'm going to stop reading that. I'm sure you're familiar with that portion of Scripture, but I want to skip over to verse number 27. "Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." What God is teaching us there is, of course, that we are all part of the body of Christ. Any born-again Christian is a part of the body of Christ. But he writes to the local church, that's also true for a local congregation. You know what? In all seriousness, folks, no, you may not be the eye. You may not be the hand. You may not be the foot. You may not be, but you're something. And you're part of the local congregation. You're important part of it, and you're a member of it. So when you are missing, something's missing. Amen? Something is not going to get accomplished like it should get accomplished if you're missing. Because there's much more to do than the teaching of Sunday school classes. There's much more to do than the preaching of the Word of God and singing of songs. Oh, there's the fellowship. Oh, there's the encouraging one another. Being an encouragement one to another. Oh, there's all of those things that needs to be in the fellowship of the church. And those are important things. So can we say it doesn't matter if I'm not here? Oh, it does matter. It absolutely does matter. If you had a preacher's heart, you know how a preacher thinks. He looks around and he says, "Oh, so-and-so's not here to see." "Oh, so-and-so, wonder where they're at today." So that's why most of the folk, when they're leaving, they'll tell me. They'll say, "Pastor, we're traveling. We're going to be traveling this week." And I've had quite a few of them tell me that this week. You know, we'll be gone. And, you know, so I'll look out there and I won't be worrying about and fretting about them. I'll say, "Yeah, they're down the road and I can pray for them and ask God's blessing on them." But what I'm saying to you is, don't you miss the other folk when they're not here? I mean, don't you miss them? Sure you do. You look around, you think, wonder where so-and-so. Oh, I wonder if they're sick. Amen. Wonder if something's happened. You know, they're not here. They're always here. I just wonder why. What's the matter? Well, sure you do. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. Why? We're all members of one body. Amen. And that's so important. See, I miss Jack and Sister Fry when they go on. They take off. You know, sometimes they go to Florida, you know, and do things. Don Mowry, he took off, went to Florida. Gene went to Florida. And, of course, Bill and Mary, they got right with God and came back from Florida. They just got back from Florida. So, but anyway, do we miss them? Sure we do. You can't help but miss them. They're part of the membership. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. So it's important that we do faithful. Also, over in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I want to show you something else that happens in a local assembly, and why it's so important that we do be faithful to be there in our place in our church services. Now, if you look at the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I'm going to read verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine for the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Now, in this, what he's doing is, he says in verse number 11, he said, I gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And then if you'll notice, he gives the reason why he gave them. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In other words, he says, I tell you why I gave you those people to teach you the word of God. I have a reason for that. I want you to get prepared to do the ministry. No, not just the preaching ministry behind a pulpit, but to do the ministry of the work of God, to get out and tell people about Christ. These people that I gave you are to help prepare you for that. They're to teach you the Bible, the Word of God. And so that's to help you get ready for the ministry. Why? So you won't be blown around with every wind of doctrine. My great desire is for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and for its people just to be settled in the doctrines of the Word of God, so that when some false doctrine comes your way, you won't have a bit of trouble with it. You'll just say, nope, that's not the Bible, that's not the Word of God, and I'm not going to believe that. Amen? See, so you won't be blown around by every wind of doctrine. And that's what pastors and teachers do. And so God is saying to us, we need to be faithful so we can be taught. How are we going to be matured in the faith? How are we going to be prepared for the ministry if we're not there to be prepared to get the teaching of the Word of God? You see, that it just doesn't, it don't make sense, and it's not right. That's why God says it's very important we be hearing the Word of God. We got in April, we've got Brother Bragg coming and Brother Hodge coming and mission preaching time, and I'm looking forward to it. I believe these men of God, they're a little older men. When I say that, I'm afraid they're near my age, but they're up there somewhere, and but they're going to be a help to us. They've been in the ministry for years and years and years, and they've seen a lot of things. Brother Bragg served in Senegal, Africa for 17 years. Has served as the African director for BIMI for quite a few years. I'm not sure how many. Brother Hodge has pastored for 20 years, and now he's up at the Appalachian ministry there, getting little churches started in the Appalachian area and getting them going and getting them started and getting pastors in there. And he worked with Dr. Malone up there for quite a few years up in Michigan. And what I'm saying is, can't these men be a help and a blessing to us? Can't they encourage our heart and give us things that they've learned over the years, and they'll build our faith and help us? That's why God does it. That's why he sends evangelists, why he gives you pastors and teachers to teach the Word of God, you see, to mature you. Now, if a folk don't come, you won't be matured. I mean, true? You see, I mean, if we just stay out of church and never go to church, there's no way a person can be matured. You say, I'll read my Bible. But God, yes, you should, and you should read your Bible. But God didn't have it ordained for you just to read your Bible. He's got teachers to teach you, because he says so in his Word, to mature you. And certainly you ought to read your Bible. You'll probably get a lot more learning from you just reading it. But you come to church and that's reinforced. It's helped. It helps you, see. So what I'm simply saying is, it's important you be faithful. Now, I'm sure in some ways, although you may not have done it just like I did, but in some ways it's been established in your life. But I remember, and I think I've told you this before, but I remember after I got saved, I wasn't saved till, as I remember, Lori was 9 years old, I think. David was 3. We got saved. And in fact, Lori was a great instrument in getting us saved. She came to me when I was sitting in a easy chair reading the Sunday paper, and she said, "Why don't we go to church like other folk, Daddy?" Whew, I've never forgot that. And boy, it just broke my heart. And we wasn't going to church, but soon after that, we began to go. And so, you know, the children were young and all of that. But, you know, I set them down and I said to them this, after I started going to church, I just simply said, "Don't ever ask, are we going to church this morning? Don't ever ask the question. It's not allowed in our house. That question is not allowed." Amen. And I think God has blessed that, and He's blessed it in your lives. Because you made that standard. You said that. And so it's a right thing to do. Faithfulness is absolutely the right and proper thing to do. Just keep being faithful. Sometimes, you know, you get a little bit discouraged. Sometimes you get down. Sometimes you just... But you know what? Just be faithful. Because when you break that, I'm not going to... I can't spend a lot of time on it because I'm about ready to run out of time. When you break that, you're sending a message to your children. Other things are more important than the house of God. When you say it's okay to go to a ball game instead of a house of God, you're saying to your children, there's something more important than the house of God. No matter what it is, whether it's a ball game or some other thing that comes in your way, you're saying, you know what? This is more important than the house of God. And that sends a message to children. That when they grow up, there's some things that are just more important than church. And you don't want to send that message. Amen. You want your children to grow up in a place where mom and dad just, no, was they perfect? Of course not. But they just went to church. They just served God. They just done what was right. They was just faithful. And that message, that example does more than a lot of times all the teaching in the world of what a parent can do. By just establishing the fact, you know, I'm faithful. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. All right, we're going to dismiss.